Hello.
Fresh from afternoon tea.
Fresh?
It's Sam Hickman.
From afternoon tea. And look, I have
You look gorgeous. That's a beautiful dress.
Thank you.
Your hair looks amazing.
Kilts, baby. Kilts.
Kilts.
Nothing but kilts. Oh, I have to tell you. So there's a fabric shop on Colchester Avenue that's shutting down.
Oh, no. I know that fabric shop. I used to live over there.
Yeah. They're shutting down and everything is half off.
Good to know.
Nothing in there is nice. Except for... I got like a silk lining fabric for £5 a meter for pure silk.
That's amazing.
And I lined a jacket with it.
Wow.
And now I just have like this extravagant kilt.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about going back and just buying 3 meters of it anyway.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
And then I'm thinking about making a cape.
Oh, a cape.
Because I have a spare kilt. I have a spare kilt.
Of course you have a spare kilt.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have
Who doesn't have a spare kilt?
There's, I mean, I don't know when the last kilt is ever going to get here anyway. So, you know, I'm making the best of a kilt situation.
Have we talked about the kilt situation on the pod?
I feel like people know about the kilt situation. Okay. I feel like if they're real Merediths, they know about the kilts. But, yeah, I have like one, I have like 4 meters of this one kilt that I was like, I should do something with it. And now after busking in like 6 degrees.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I should make a.
Yeah.
A cape. Like a full length cape. Because I had that small cape that I made out of that skirt.
Yes. Yeah.
That I wore over Christmas. And I was like, this is the greatest.
It's a great cape.
Thing in the world. And then yesterday I went out and it was 6 degrees Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very chilly. And I wore like my wool jacket and then I put my like big overcoat over the top. That overcoat did absolutely nothing.
Ooh.
Absolutely nothing. My one big coat goes down to my knees and up to my throat. It's that one. But it was like freezing. And I went and saw The Boy and the Heron, the new Studio Ghibli movie, with our friend Hanan.
Lovely.
And we were sat in Cineworld screen one and it was freezing cold. And so we were sat there with, like, our coats over our laps.
Oh, no.
Like, shawls on, freezing to death, huddling together for warmth. And every single time a person got up to get out of the, like, to, like, any time a person got up and left, we were like, they've gone to go tell the manager that there's no heat. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it this time.
Oh, dear.
But none of them did. And it was freezing cold for, like, a two-hour movie.
That's not very nice.
Good movie in spite of that. I really had to...
Sorry. Yes. I was just going to say, do you have the thing from growing up in Texas that I have from growing up in California where I constantly think that that cinemas are going to be cold?
Yes.
And they're never cold here.
They're never cold here. They're always too warm.
They're always too warm. Like, yeah. I always get in trouble when I go to the cinema in the winter because I don't remember that it's going to be boiling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was prepared for that.
Yeah.
I was like, it's going to be so warm.
Yeah, it always is.
I don't need to bring an extra thing.
It makes sense, though. Britain versus...
I think they just left a door open.
Oh, well, yeah. No, it doesn't make sense that Cineworld was freezing. It makes sense that because we over air condition our theaters America, whereas here they prepare for the extremely frigid temperatures. She says with skeptical eyebrows, it doesn't get that cold in Cardiff. But in other parts of Wales and the UK more broadly, it does.
My ankles were really cold. I don't know what was going on.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Thank you for your sympathy.
I'm so sorry.
I made it through the movie. I'm very brave.
I'm very happy to hear that. It's good to see you. It's good you're here with us.
Thank you. We're going to see Poor Things at some point.
Oh, exciting.
You would enjoy that because it's Emma Stone, our friend.
I thought you were going to say I'd enjoy it because I liked The Favourite. I don't think I have strong feelings about Emma Stone specifically.
Oh, you don't have strong feelings about Emma Stone?
She seems like a good actor.
Sure. Anyway. Any news from you? We're going to cut this all out anyway.
I've had a haircut.
Oh.
I also was wearing a hat on my way over here and I haven't looked at my hair, but
it's giving lesbian.
Yeah. Good.
It's giving butch.
Good.
It's giving I work at a library.
Okay.
It's giving let me say something nice about it. It's giving you would help out a gay man during the AIDS crisis. That's what this whole outfit is. It's giving she's about to go to an ACT UP meeting.
Okay. I'd like to think that of myself, I guess. It's so funny.
With all of the earrings and the collar and the jacket and like
I did come in a leather jacket that is possibly from the 80s.
Like just the whole outfit.
Yeah. I'd probably be wearing jeans and not
and the fact that your hair
pants,
is but... spiked up. I don't think you realize like it is.
No, that's how I styled it, but thanks. Oh, thanks okay. for your concern.
Wow. Hair looks great.
Season
no,
six.
No, it does. It
episode
does.
Three.
Maybe I'm just not seeing it in good light.
Oh my God, you're
Why
so
mean.
Why
am I so mean?
Season six, episode three, Barge of the Dead.
Barge of the Dead. Your hair looks nice, Kat.
Thanks, Sam.
And that's where we start the episode. They don't get any of the preamble.
Well, I'm editing this.
Oh, are you?
For reasons that may be obvious to our listeners.
Wow. Sorry. Anyway, women drivers, am I right? B'Elanna crashes a shuttle into the barge, into the cargo bay, and Tom comes to flirt with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes to see Janeway, and Janeway is like, why did you chase that probe into the ion storm? And she's like, it was our last long distance probe. I got to go see it. Anyway, and then she's like, Lana, that's what my mother called me. What did your mother call you?
Catherine.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's nice.
What did...
I'm saving it for my I'm Sam Hickman.
Okay.
Chakotay comes to see her in her quarters with a monkey wrench, a Klingon monkey wrench.
Indeed.
It does not look like a monkey wrench.
No, I think that he's... I think that that's a colloquialism.
Oh.
That it's just like throwing a wrench in the plans. That,
oh.
I think that's, yeah. It doesn't look like a wrench. You're right. I was also confused by that.
I was like, there's no twisty bit. How are you going to tighten your bolts with that? Anyway, we're tool girls. We love tools.
We love tools.
And, you know, fixing things, dating them. what's a Klingon monkey wrench doing in the Delta Quadrant? B'Elanna's like, it's probably a Borg abducted them and then like jettisoned the ship halfway through the Delta Quadrant. But then the wrench starts bleeding. And I said, wait, is this the Klingon Hell is Real app? Oh, baby.
this sure is.
Oh, baby, it is.
The Klingon Hell is Real app.
That's what my mother used to call me. I'm Sam Hickman. But can we bleep the slur?
Yes.
Thank you.
You got me.
Thank you.
You got me with that one.
Thank you.
Oh boy.
I said it's a little bit racy. Will it play?
Well, it's going out bleeped. Boy, it's hard to rally for mine now. And I said, eat this or I'll force it down the gullet of your corpse. I'm Kat Dickerfield.
Oh my God. And this is
Women talking about Star Trek Voyager. It's Kat and it's Sam. They are two friends. Women,
women talking about Star Trek Voyager.
It's time that we start the show.
Space is sexy, space is scary. Come on, let's go.
So, you have any opening tangents? Oh, I watched Shiva Baby.
How did you like Shiva Baby? Oh, dear.
Okay. I watched it on our friend, Channel 4.
Mm-hmm.
and I watched it on the on-demand service. I have not watched anything that has, like, advert breaks in years. It was so, like, discombobulating. What's the nice word for that? It was so, like, it really turned me around. Because I was like, she's at the Shiva, somebody brings a literal baby. And then it's like, what if you bought a new car?
Yeah.
The worst one is like, there's this Toyota Argo advert where they're like, break the mold. And then it's showing you just like a gray car. And they're like, be original, gray car. Make choices, gray car. Creative gay rights, gray car. And it's just a gray car. It's just a gray car. There's nothing interesting. It's just a gray car.
I do see a lot of adverts.
Okay.
But because I watch everything on streaming, I sort of see the same adverts all the time.
So it's...
And they seem to be different from the adverts that other people see when they stream things on, for example, Channel 4. So I get a lot of ads for, I can't remember what perfume it even is, but there's a perfume ad with Marion Cotillard.
Oh.
I don't know how to do a French accent. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I've
turned off my targeted ads on Spotify, on Snapchat, and now I get anything. They think I'm rich. The past, like, 3 months, they've been like, De Beers Diamonds.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, wow. Who on earth? Like, it's bad enough on, like, Instagram where they're like, what if you bought a pair of Louboutins?
Why are they advertising diamonds on Spotify?
On Snapchat.
On Snap, sorry.
Even worse. Did
say Snapchat.
Even
That's
worse.
That's very weird.
It's wild. Anyway, back to the episode. She takes the wrench to engineering and Harry can't find anything wrong with it. And then Neelix comes to congratulate her on her discovery.
Can we just take a moment to point out that this conversation is revealed to be happening at 3 a.m. It's 3 a.m. Yeah. And B'Elanna is like, Harry, just scan it one more time. Harry's like, you have a head injury.
Yeah.
Like, Harry's not wrong.
Neelix is like, we should throw a party. It's like, the party's going to be at 7. So it's nice that he gives them, like, a heads up in case they want to change or something.
A 3 a.m. heads up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the day before. It's,
yeah, you know. I suppose so.
And B'Elanna has to give a speech. If you had to give a speech at a party the next day after making a groundbreaking discovery, what would that sound like?
Let's see. Could I plagiarize our dear sweet friend Crash, who basically gave me the idea for the speech I gave at your birthday wedding?
Yes. What would you do?
I would just ask Crash to write it for me. She did a good job. No, she didn't write it for me. She just gave me the central joke.
I subjected one of our dear sweet friends at afternoon tea this afternoon to workshopping.
Is that the first time you subjected this?
Yes,
specific,
like,
dear
hard,
sweet friend?
Hard and rough workshopping. Like, truly, like the sentence that I think will one day become a joke. Like, she was like, what is this? Anyway, she goes to see Tuvok, who is remarkably unhelpful for Tuvok.
I have a question for you about the last scene.
Okay.
If
I were throwing a party, I would probably put, like, streamers up, maybe some bunting. That's always festive. I used to be very against it, but now I'm kind of pro it.
Yeah, bunting can be fun. I wrote, Neelix is planning a Klingon cultural festival and B'Elanna has to participate in it. Have you ever been burdened with unwanted labor due to your identity?
No, never actually.
That's good. I was once famously used as the face of a university's equality and diversity pages for several years.
Oh.
I think they made a decision to go with someone white but weird looking. And I'd love to have been in the room for that decision.
That's a choice.
Wasn't it?
Maybe they just had the photo.
Oh, they did just have the photo.
They just
but
had it.
The photo was taken for a different use. Oh. And it magically appeared on the Equality and Diversity page right above a caption that said, this university accepts all types of students.
Which ties into Tuvok is like, you're gay, so you hate yourself. Sorry, Klingon. He'll always be a Klingon. And then he scratches her. He gets a bat with her.
Yeah.
And he scratches her.
Yeah.
He does a little dance with it, which is fun. You ever had a guy try and show off in front of you? You ever had a guy try and, like, helicopter or something?
No comment. You?
A lady never tells. Luckily, I'm no lady.
There we go.
You know, sometimes, I'll save this for off the pod. he scratches her and tells her to get out. In the mess hall, Seven and the Doctor are pals, which is nice. And they're doing a little song in unison, which is less impressive when you think about it. And then Neelix does Klingon catering. Is there a spot in the kitchen?
Oh,
remember
sorry.
That segment?
No, I'm afraid I was not paying
should
enough attention.
Should we play the full theme tune so people enjoy it?
Yes, let's play the theme tune because people should appreciate your musical artistry.
So
Some ginger root spray painted golden, carrots glued to potatoes, plums and figs, a jackfruit to a bone china cup with a rose. Let's all chat, say, hey, what's that? It's spotted in the kitchen.
Hey, what's that? It's spotted in the kitchen
with Kat.
Love that.
I love having my own theme song, even though it's for a segment that I never remember to do anymore.
No, I mean, we don't get it as much, to be fair.
No, it's true. There's less of like, oh, Neelix is being a goofy guy in a kitchen. Look
they
at what
really
he's throwing
abandoned
around.
That. And I think in many ways that's good, but for the podcast, it's bad.
It's bad for the pod, yeah.
Anyway, B'Elanna and Tom have a chat. Oh, no, there's not a lot of Klingon in you. What? Oh, no, there's not a lot of Klingon. But would you like a little human? Hard wink.
Yeah, it does feel like Tom, as written, would follow up with.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, I
but
hated
But I got 3.5 inches of human.
No, I hated this conversation so much. I just, like, yeah. Well, we'll get to it when I get to my rating of this episode.
Oh,
but
good.
I just, poor B'Elanna, like, seriously. I mean, this isn't actually happening, though, is it?
No.
This isn't happening. All right.
This is
sorry.
A fugue state.
Spoiler.
But she does reveal that she went to a monastery school.
Yeah, interesting.
And her mom was very much like, be Klingon, do drugs.
Yeah. Be Klingon, do drugs.
Janeway gives a speech, and she's gets real blurry. And then B'Elanna sees a Klingon, spooky. And then the Klingons start killing all of the Voyager crew, spooky. And then B'Elanna wakes up on a literal boat.
Yeah.
Because Klingon hell is real.
Klingon hell is real.
Oh my God.
It's the barge of the dead.
They try and brand her face, but she doesn't take the brand.
Mm.
She does make a friend who tells her that Klingon hell is real. And that she's dead the whole time, and the whole bit before was just a dream.
Yeah,
and they encounter some CGI sirens.
Sorry.
I have nothing. I'm just doing plot here.
That's fine. It's the Naj, the dream before dying.
Mm-hmm.
She hears her friends calling to her. Someone else jumps off the ship and screams in agony as he's eaten by what the subtitles helpfully refer to as creatures.
Wow, CGI sirens.
Mm.
She meets the captain who's like, babe, you keep almost dying a lot.
Yeah.
You're totally fine, but you keep doing it. And B'Elanna decides to fight her way out, which is
naturally
doesn't work.
No. Nope.
And he's like, you can't harm me. I'm literally already dead. I did enjoy Shiva Baby, by the way.
Oh, I'm glad.
Like, when I could pay attention, when the adverts weren't, when it wasn't telling me to buy a new car.
It must be a very, I can't imagine watching it with adverts. Because it's very tense, and it feels like that would break it up.
And there were a lot of adverts. It was like truly every 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's not it's a 90-minute movie.
Yeah, it's
a
short
movie.
Yeah.
It was like right in the middle as well. It was like truly like she sees the man, and then it was like, what if you bought a gray car?
I miss when cars were colors.
Serve cunt in this gray car.
That should be the episode title if we didn't do episode titles.
God, really shot ourselves in the foot there. I mean, I think it's for the best.
Surf cunt in this gray car.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Her mother arrives. Weird choices. I don't know why. And then B'Elanna is zacked back to life. Our new character, Zack, back to life by the doctor. And B'Elanna has questions. Later, Chakotay comes to her quarters, and B'Elanna is like, Klingon hell is real. And Chakotay, old Vision Quest Chakotay, is like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about this.
Yes, yeah.
I'm not sure. Of all the characters.
Yeah.
Literally, pick any other fucking character.
Yeah.
And they would have been like, yeah, I'm very skeptical about that. But like,
just send Harry back. He's already been like, you had head trauma. Leave me alone. It's 3
yeah.
in the morning.
Well, that was a dream. So I don't think it would.
Oh, right. This is in. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
this
getting
is real
so
life.
Confused about which bits are real. And I watched
this
today.
Is this like Inception?
kind of.
Is this like Tenet?
I don't know what Tenet is.
Oh, it's another Christopher Nolan movie that I watched at 1.5 speed.
Fair.
In engineering, B'Elanna is reading the Klingon Bible, and it turns out that the reason her mother's in hell is because of her. Isn't that always the case? She's like, she's just like Kalis. She's like, this is a lore app.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
not like a lore as in Data's brother, like a lore as in like backstory.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And B'Elanna has to go back to help. And Tom is like, this sounds like a really bad idea. And Janeway is like, yeah, this is a really bad idea. And B'Elanna's like, if I want to kill myself briefly for like maybe an hour, why can't I do that?
Yeah.
Spiritual practice. And she's like, it was real to me. And then Janeway's like, don't do that. Maybe don't. She's like, you're just like my mom. Anyway, in sick bay, she's going in. She's got an hour and the doctor's going to like put her under or whatever and then bring her back. And they, are surprised when she stops breathing.
They're like, what?
They're like, oh no, she's dead now. Truly. And she's back on the boat. She's going below deck. She meets her mother. She's like, I'm gonna fight or whatever. And her mother's like, oh, I don't know. And then they're going to, so they had to plan where they're going to like transfer her mother's whatever to her. And then she's going to like zap out of there before they can get to wherever they're going on the boat. But the captain knows the plan because, I don't think it's a particularly.
I wasn't like 100% sure that I understood what this, but it's
fine. That's literally it.
I know, but I found this a little confusing, but maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention.
I mean, it wasn't unclear.
Okay, never mind.
Maybe you sneezed or something. I don't know.
Maybe I did. There were definitely a couple of moments when I was watching this episode that I was just like, did I just zone out for 30 seconds? Because it just like,
I think this is a blink and you'll miss it.
Yeah, I think there was a lot going on in this episode. And it's a good episode. I apologize chaos. To the episode that I was missing bits.
She's ready to walk the plank. And then like she's revived in sick bay. And Tuvok is there and shoves her off the boat or whatever. I don't know. And then she wakes up in sick bay. Grethor.
Mm-hmm.
Neelix is there. So it is hell. And the doctor is doing Faust.
Yeah.
Very apt. And he's like, they're like, this is hell. And then B'Elanna's like, I don't consider Voyager hell.
Yeah.
All my friends are there.
I did find this sort of powerful, though. Like the realization that like the reason that she's back on Voyager because it's her personal version of Klingon hell. I was like, oh, the meaning.
What do you think your personal version of hell is?
Interesting question.
Post office?
Maybe just like being on a very rocky boat.
Oh, so on the way to Klingon hell.
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like on a boat with a lot of other people. Yeah, so this might be my the journey to hell might be my hell. Oh. What's your personal hell?
Anywhere with overhead fluorescent lighting. Just anywhere.
There's most of the world.
There's ceiling panels that are like squares that you push up. Anywhere that's got those.
I've complained. We have the option of voicing our desires for an office redoing that's happening at my job, and
exciting.
It made my feelings about the overhead lighting known, as did some other people I know.
What are you gonna get? Mood lighting sponsors?
I don't know. We've just asked for the ability to turn them off if we by consensus, because they are currently completely out of our control. One of many reasons that I do not choose to take advantage of the office very much. Yeah. Anyway.
This is a great day for B'Elanna Taurus. Seven is like, I wanted to be her pal, but she wouldn't be my pal. Yeah. And they're all like, she won't be friends with us. She won't let us in.
Mm.
And then she is back on the boat with her mother and all of the...
Her mother
is in wearing Starfleet.
Her mother is wearing Janeway's uniform.
Incredible.
On the nose.
The nosiest nose.
Right on that schnoz, as we say.
Oh, my goodness. Is it winter? Because that nose is running.
Yeah.
You can see it from here. Anyway, lover. she has a group meeting where they're all in a circle. And they're all in a circle being like, she would never let us in. And Tom's like, as a lover. And I'm like, she has to learn to love herself.
Yeah.
And she does learn to love herself or whatever. And then she hugs her mommy and wakes up. Yeah. Alice is something I have. I don't know what that's in reference to.
I don't know.
And then she hugs her other mother.
She wakes up. She's happy to be alive. She hugs Janeway. And yeah. Full circle, I guess.
It's giving mother issues.
It's giving mother issues.
If last episode was giving mother, this is giving mother issues.
Yes.
I'm sensing a theme for season six. Oedipal. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. We now move into our discussions.
Well, I've written, the way this show makes Janeway everyone's mother is exhausting to me personally, and that prevents me from having a good analysis of it as a narrative choice in this episode.
Yeah.
I think this is a good episode, and I do actually think that I think that my feelings about Janeway being positioned as a mother figure are...
It's like women in charge, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of wish that I could turn off the way that I feel about it in the whole of Voyager for this episode, because I do think that the point that's being made here is a good one. And I think that this is good character development for B'Elanna. I think it's a really good episode for B'Elanna.
Yeah.
In some ways, which I'll get to. But yes, I'm struggling a little bit with my general. I just really dislike the reading of Janeway as Seven's mother figure for a number of reasons, even though that's in some way that's an even more necessary part of the narrative. I find the way they handled it unpleasant, but that's my own problem. I don't actually think there's anything necessarily wrong with it, but what was the other thing I was gonna say?
I feel like it's also like quite gendered as well, because it's like Picard was nobody's mother.
No, and Picard is like allowed to not be a very fatherly figure. Like, he's allowed to be really bad with kids and uncomfortable around kids, and like, that's not anyway. Although, I mean, you know, it's I don't know that it whole, like, this doesn't necessarily. I really like the way that like Sisko is portrayed as a really nice fatherly figure, literally for his actual son, and in general for all children on DS9, but he doesn't necessarily have a fatherly relationship with the people in his crew.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe was handled in a more, like, maybe a slightly more nuanced way than we see with Janeway. Maybe even more nuanced than we see with Picard, but anyway. I haven't thought this through, but yeah. Any thoughts you'd like to share?
No.
Okay.
I thought you had...
I think I'll just say the other thing I had to say with my rating, because it explains my rating.
Exciting. Should we do some segments?
Let's do some segments.
Wigs. B'Elanna has a nice lip color, and then when she changes into her Klingon outfit, it is very cunty. It's a great Mugler outfit. In space.
It's very Mugler.
It's just shoulder pads and hip bits.
Shoulder pads, hip bits. It's fierce.
Grab your bat lift. We're going to hell.
Yeah. It's great. I love it.
Stellar.
I don't have anything useful to say about it, but I loved it.
There were a lot of Klingons in this app.
Looking very Klingon-y. Mm-hmm. I love Klingons. True facts, I have a bat left sticker on my laptop.
And that's why you're not allowed in the office. All right. Anything else?
No.
Stay out of the nebula. Oh, that made my entire ears... That was...
I'm so sorry.
Anyway, what was the nebula in this episode? Friendship?
I've written honor, death... Klingon hell.
Duality. Having to contain multitudes. Oh. Being a woman.
Also, arguably, an ion storm.
Actually, yes.
It's an episode of nebulas.
Of real nebulae and an emotional.
Yeah.
Personal nebulae.
The best/worst Voyager episodes are the ones that have an emotional nebula.
And a physical nebula. Yes. Very true.
How would you rate this episode, Sam?
I had a great time. I'm going to say like 9.7 out of 10 bat lifts.
Oh, lovely.
There you go. Keep it simple. How would you rate this episode, Kat?
I'm giving this episode 4.5 out of 5. Kaplaws.
Kaplaw.
I do really like this episode.
Okay.
However, it does suffer from what I've written down as the disease that most Voyager episodes about my favorite characters suffer from, which is that it's not totally clear that the show understands
the character.
That no, it's not clear that the show understands that the character is being treated badly by their loved ones and crewmates.
Interesting.
That is just a recurring theme in Delana-centric episodes, is that it's never completely clear to me whether the show understands that the way that people treat her, like she's constantly flying off the handle when she isn't, I'm gonna say racist. I'm gonna say violent of them. I'm gonna say manipulative. It's really bad, and I don't.
Unprofessional.
It's very unprofessional.
She would go and see a Meredith in HR and complain.
Oh yeah, as she should. I'd love to be there for her as a Meredith. But like, yeah, I feel like this. It's not clear to me that the show understands that. Sometimes it seems very clear that the show definitely does not understand that. Which is a shame, because it's a shame. It's a shame.
Yeah.
I do still think this is a very good episode in a lot of ways. And also, a lot of the bad behavior that people exhibited did happen in a dream state. So,
yeah.
So that does say something. That's why I say, like, there are some episodes where it's really, really clear that the perspective of the writer was not it.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's kind of a lot of the really bad stuff that people do to her is because she's working through stuff about her relationship with them. And so that's maybe more forgivable, but it's still leaves a bad taste.
I mean, literally pretty much all of it happened in a dream state.
Yeah, yeah, most of it did. So, but I think in the context of the show as a whole, I'm maintaining that it's a fair complaint on my part.
Yeah. Also, the Chakotay scene.
That was questionable.
Like, on it, just get somebody, literally any other character.
Yeah, it's a strange choice. It's a strange choice to... Oh, I don't know.
Like, wasn't Tom in there?
Yeah.
He would have far better reason to be in her quarters.
Yeah, and also his general vibe is very much like, it seems like bullshit. Like, you know, it just would make more sense, but I don't know. Yeah, some strange choices, but I 4 out of 5 out of 5 for me. I do think it's a good app.
Tom Paris via New Jersey. It seems like bullshit.
Yeah, I do not know why I gave him that voice.
Incredible.
Oh...
I'm walking here. Anyway.
Right.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
No, I don't. Do you have anything to plug?
My butthole. Tee-hee-hee. Well, I mean, I'll tell you about that later.
Okay.
I joke. That's disgusting, and we're professionals.
We'll put that on the Patreon that we don't have. We do not have a Patreon.
Again, it's called Hemorrhoids with the Deerfields.
We're the Deerfields?
Yeah, no, it's with the Deerfields. It's where I go and interview you and your husband about various health ailments.
Oh, God.
I'm like, you guys ever had a sty?
I certainly have had a sty. Oh, I used to be very prone
too.
To them. Very
I had unpleasant. One this year.
Oh, yeah, you did.
What
oh.
a journey it was.
What a journey.
Could have been a podcast series.
So, yeah, sign up for the Patreon that we don't have.
Should we start a Patreon in 2024?
No.
I mean, I don't think it'd be like a real one. We barely.
So
get the episodes out.
I know we said this in the last episode. We have just had a time trying to get episodes recorded.
We're doing our best.
We've just both been unwell over the last few weeks, and it's just been difficult to get it together to record. But here we are.
And I have my voice back. So.
That's always good.
I got it back from that damn sea witch.
Right. If you don't have anything to plug, although have you plugged Makeup for Harpists yet?
Oh God, yeah. Makeup for Harpists 6, 12th night edition is out now on the YouTube or whatever. If you wanted to hear discussion about the costumes from Ho Ho Hickman, A Christmas Extravaganza, then it's on Makeup for Harpists 6. So,
and you should listen to Hyperlocal Celebrity for all the updates.
Yeah, you can hear me complain about 2023. I had a hell of a year.
You did. You really
it was
did.
Bad.
Yeah.
It's not good. Anyway.
But 2024 is here. We take it one day at a time.
Because we're alcoholics.
We're not alcoholics.
What's our 2024 resolution as a podcast?
Ooh,
actually release 2 episodes a month like we say we're going to.
Yeah, I hope it's like to bank.
To be fair, I think the only time we've failed to do that was this past December.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. It just feels...
It feels...
I need the Meredith to know that from where we're sitting is a completely different story to where you're sitting. Like, it is... We are flying by the seat of our little pants.
Yeah.
We are barely watching the episodes before we record.
And we're watching... You watched the episode ages ago. You must have done.
Yeah.
I watched it today. It was fine.
Anyway.
No, we've got behind ourselves a little bit due to... illness over the Christmas period.
Yeah, I feel like
I was ill for 4 weeks.
February 2020 was like our prime.
Yeah, we
had
great.
So many bangs.
Oh my god, we were doing so well.
Incredible.
And then we were releasing episodes talking about going to shops in the middle of lockdown.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Oh boy, that's the thing. Sometimes you bank too much. And then things happen in the world that make you have to record disclaimers.
But I don't think that'll ever happen again.
Don't
so I think
say
we're
that
okay.
out loud.
I don't think that'll ever happen again. No, I mean us banking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're never going to bank episodes like that again.
Anyway.
No, maybe we will. You never know. Anyway, we love you, Meredith.
I don't. I've been Sam Hickman.
I've been Kat Deerfield.
And this was Women. Talking about Star Trek Voyager. We're looking at each other and we can't get it together. I'm like, who's leading me?
I was fucking with you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
They say in space no one can hear you scream. The Starfleet's one hell of a place. But now we've come to the end of our show. Did you survive or will you die in disgrace?